Hello, hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine, Maria, and Julie. I'm Julie.
Hi, Jules.
Hey, Christine. you're so on the ball sharp right
I'm
now.
I'm so sharp right now.
Yes. Well, I think you've been a little bit perturbed with me a day.
Really?
Yes, I think you have. Well, if you can hear my voice, I have a little bit of a touch of a cold.
Oh, you do. Yes, you do.
And it's just a little bit. It's not a huge one, just a little bit. But you go into mother mode really quick, and it's always about, oh, so do you have a cold? And I hear your tone, and I'm not doing your tone appropriately. It's like, it's mixed with, it's mostly like 50% Sherlock Holmes, like, where the F did you get that cold? And,
correct.
You know, 40%. How dare you get a cold? And 10%, oh, I'm sorry you have a cold. You know?
How dare you bring that cold home?
Right. How dare you? Will I get a cold?
Yeah.
And I, you know, who is the bastard that gave it to you?
Because honestly, I don't do colds well.
Right. And then
you do them well. You like sipping your hot tea and having your little zinc in your mouth. And you like putting your feet up and just getting all snuggly.
Right.
Me, I can't stand it. I feel like I'm crawling out of my skin when I get a cold. And nothing helps. I don't care what I take. I don't care how much zinc I take or how much of those Ricolas, you know. And so I'm just like, Jewel, where did you get that? And of course, I'm always accusing Doug.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. Yeah. That, you know, most of that 50% of Sherlock Holmes that comes into you and you are like more like, who is a female, you know, it was Hardy
Agatha
Boys.
Agatha Christie?
Well, Agatha Christie, but I would have called you the young girl. Like, it was Hardy Boys.
Oh, yeah.
What was her name?
Nancy Drew.
Nancy Drew.
Yeah, Nancy Drew.
But you are more now like Agatha Christie.
Yeah.
Which is like, you tell it like it is. Mm-hmm. You always are looking around in the background.
Miss,
you see
Miss
everything.
What's Miss?
Miss Marples.
Miss Marples, yes.
Yes. All the good classics found on PBS. You know, there is nothing better than like a Sunday afternoon when it's raining. And
especially
PBS
if you have a cold.
Yeah. And sometimes you do find them on Netflix. Some things like that. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, perfect binge watching.
Yes.
You don't care if you fall asleep. You wake up, you're like, oh, he did it.
Yeah.
You know, oh. I see. You know, so that's, you know, I love the fact that you admit, you come by it honestly where you go, your first choice is to always blame Doug.
Yes.
And like, well, how did he give you the cold? Because I know that he was probably slightly sick, didn't tell you.
Of course he wouldn't.
And then.
Of course he wouldn't tell you, because otherwise you might take precautions.
Exactly. And which I didn't. I would have had to wear a whole body, you know, condom. I don't take precautions anymore. I throw precautions out to the wind. But yeah, so that's kind of, I was going to say something about how you really are like Ms. Marples or Agatha Christie, because you're a writer, you know.
I'm more like Jessica Fletcher in Murder, She Wrote.
That's what I want to say, Jessica Fletcher.
Yeah.
In your little bicycle. I mean, you really, that's kind of the life you want to lead.
That would be completely content.
Yes. You want to ride your bicycle, but you want to have, she had a two-wheeler bicycle.
Yeah.
You'd have a three-wheeler bicycle with
a big basket. I'd have a golf cart.
And most likely a golf cart.
Yeah. Or I'd have a stationary bike. I don't need to even go anywhere.
I don't need to go into town.
I just like, I'll Amazon in everything.
Exactly. And then you'd just be like looking at the window, solving crimes, you know, looking at social media sites of your neighbors, solving crimes and mysteries. And
wouldn't it be funny if I didn't even have to solve the crime? I stayed there and I just intuited it.
Oh, sure, like a Minority Report.
Yeah.
Like they had those three people that, you know, lay down in a bottle, you know, in a thing of water.
And we tell people
what they're going to do.
Yeah.
You'd be the main one. Like, if you were gone, none of it would work out. You know, you feed off the other two.
Sounds good.
Sounds good. Exactly. But the only thing different is, like, you've always wanted to live on an island, but an island close enough to the mainland that hopefully a bridge could get you there.
Right. Or a small boat.
A small boat. Like, or even a canoe.
Right.
Or a rowboat.
Yeah.
Or a
kayak.
Yeah. Because the idea of you being stuck somewhere.
Not good.
No. It's like, this doesn't feel good.
That's why I wouldn't take the, what was Agatha Christie's train? What was it called?
Oh, Midnight Express? No.
What was it?
Something Express.
Orient Express.
Yes.
The Orient Express. That's why I would never find myself on the Orient Express and experiencing, it was murder.
It was murder.
On the Orient Express.
Well, speaking of that.
I would be totally claustrophobic.
Yeah, well, you're going to be crapping a brick right now. Because what is coming out December?
What is? Murder in the Orient Express?
Yes.
Another reboot?
Yes, another reboot. And guess who'll be playing in it?
Okay, let's see.
Someone who definitely needs some money right now because he has a very lavish lifestyle.
Val Kilmer. No. Johnny Depp.
Yes. I think Val Kilmer probably could use some money.
Yeah.
But I think he probably has enough to support his lifestyle, which is, no, I'm just hanging.
I'm just hanging now. But I'm Johnny Depp, he's got some work to do.
Well, he has, I don't know where this kid comes up with his lifestyle, but it's huge.
Well, I think it's because he doesn't care. He never really cared. I do believe that. In the midst of not caring, there was a lot of foolish addictions
and
going on.
And taking your eyes off the prize.
Taking your eyes off the ball and the prize.
And like saying, you know, someone wasn't saying, do you just have to save 10%? Mm-hmm. You will save 10%. Mm-hmm. Even if I have to come and like go to the all the little different, you know, I don't know, production companies and say the first 10% goes to me so mm-hmm. I can invest it for his future because mm-hmm. this guy has no idea what money is. It's like, oh yes, I like a Canon. $500,000. Well, I made $22 million in my last movie. I can afford a $500,000 Canon. Why not?
Or like, why can't I have a castle?
Yeah.
I deserve a castle.
And then yes, you could have a castle, but you're most likely Airbnb in it half of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Which would not be a bad side gig for him.
No.
You're like, hey, I'm here five months of here,
right?
And I only need the West Wing.
Right.
And the rest of it, we're going to Airbnb it.
Yeah.
Personal chef, $300 a night.
There are some things that he could do better than what he's doing.
Yes.
I mean, he's still in trouble, isn't he, in some ways?
I don't know.
Or did he get out of it?
I don't know if he, in his marijuana state, you know, is feeling the trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is, if he just went to zero, somehow, I don't know if he's in debt or if he just is spending.
I don't know if he's like negative. But I'll tell you what, that girl was the downfall of him, I think. And
it's
I don't know her name, but
Now
she's going with Elon Musk, right?
Mm-hmm.
She always wants somebody superstar.
And now doesn't it surprise superstar. You that Elon Musk's company, his stock is worth like 5 times more than GM's? I mean, when you go there and you're just like, I mean, he produces less than 100,000 cars a year.
Yeah.
I mean, it boggles the mind.
It does. It does. Because these days, you know, this is we're calling this the apocalypse or the end of the world. Don't be scared.
Let's just call it what it is. The apocalypse.
You know, nothing makes sense. The ordinary things, what's up is down. What you think is right is just the opposite. You know, like online banking. Like, I wanted to open up a new account because we end up going to Oregon more than we go to Dixon. So I wanted to just go open a simple bank account because we go to Oregon more than we go to Dixon. Use online banking, but you can't do any banking
online.
You've
got
to actually go in to sign up for online banking.
And you're like, I refuse to. When did that happen? Oh my gosh, girlfriend. Anyway, we're having just a little tech difficulty because Mama separated herself from her microphone.
It was painful.
Did it hurt?
Yes.
And people were like, what happened? Christine left a note. She just dropped off the face of the earth.
No. I dropped the mic. Mic drop.
Right. And see, you refuse to play in that field. Either you're totally online or you're totally offline.
Mm-hmm.
But this in-between stuff.
It's driving me crazy.
Well, you also leave your guard down, you know?
I do.
Then you're like, am I online? Am I offline? Am I supposed to be doing this?
Right.
What am I doing?
Right. I do. And I think I'm just tired, you know me. I'm like, am I all about humor? I'm all about comedy to get through the hard stuff. I'm just like, I think I need a little break because it just, overwhelming right now.
Yeah.
Just overwhelming. Like I said, black is white, white is black. The things that should make sense don't make sense. There are many times this week that I go, the common sense way to do this would have been this.
Right.
I can't remember any examples.
Right.
But that no longer works. Like, we have this new thing at our McDonald's that has like two or three, spaces, parking spaces that say for apps, app users. And it's so amazing because for whatever reason, our little McDonald's, which has great coffee, by the way.
Right. We go there probably every day for coffee or iced
tea. We love the app because you get every five coffees, you get one free.
And sometimes you get a free drink.
In addition to that.
Yeah.
So basically, out of the 5 days you go, two of your drinks are free, which is nice.
Yeah, very much so.
But again, in the last year or so, for whatever reason, even though we've added a second line, our McDonald's is extremely slow.
Right.
You can't go there and not spend 15,
right,
20 minutes in line.
Right.
So introducing this new idea, it's like, well, we can't wait to use it. So we're sitting there trying to pull up our app. We can't get it.
Right.
So after like 10, 15 minutes trying, we get in line and we order our stuff. But we ask the lady, tell us how to use the app thing.
Right.
I don't know.
I have no idea.
I don't know.
Because I want to use the app, but I also want to get my discounts.
Right.
And it didn't show you where to get your discounts.
Right.
And
where
so
you
I'm
have
like,
to scan it.
Yeah. Well, just automatically take it out. And I tried it and didn't do it.
Right.
So I'm like,
I don't know. They go, I don't know.
So they've taken something that was very sweet and easy and made it really complicated. Now I can't figure it out.
Yeah. And they don't care either.
No, I think they're wanting to keep up the times, which I appreciate McDonald's since they're a big company. But,
And I'm just another thing. I'm going to just, airing my.
Go for
and
so you we go. Were just. You air, you vent.
Right. So we're just, you know, taking a ride with Elliot, and we came across this new subdivision, you know.
Yeah.
And I guess it's new. There's no homes built there, but they're starting to build one or two.
Right.
So we call because it's been vacant for years.
Right.
And so it has a sign, this, you know, and it has a bank sign in front of it, in front of the model,
right,
you know. So we decided to call the realtor to see what the land was going for, because we knew what the land was going for years ago.
Right.
And she acted like, well, how do you, like, oh, and so you're using, you know, Harvard State Bank.
Right.
How do you know
how
that?
How do you know? And I don't feel comfortable telling you. I go,
I don't understand how you know that we're... Well, you have a sign in front of your model home
that says financing by Harvard State Bank. I go, so I'm like, not pulling
thin air. And so I said that, and then she goes, I guess that might make sense.
What? You're probably going insane right now.
I don't even understand this.
Yeah.
And so I gave her my email. I said, well, just when you get a chance, just send me, you know, what some of the lots are going for. I'm just curious. Haven't heard back from her.
No.
It's like, I don't understand why you would want to know this. I mean, I don't understand what happened to business.
Right.
I don't even understand. A while ago, like, if you were interested in a car, God forbid, because people would be all over you.
Right.
Now you've got to practically beg them.
Yes.
To wait on you.
Or I know.
To go, like, you know, do you remember the old days?
I do. And it's funny you say that, because I've been looking for cars, you know, and I'll have put some feelers out in three or four different places.
Yeah.
And one person will be overly aggressive.
I agree. Yes.
You're like, ugh. And then now, and so I'm dealing with that person.
Like, but, how did that person get my email?
And you're like, oh, for heaven's sakes. But, it's crazy.
Yeah.
There's nothing consistent.
Yeah, and it's much more than what we're saying. I mean, it's almost insidious.
Right.
It's also backwards. And I'm actually getting tired of, I know that we're into this anticipatory age, that all of our computers and everything, we're so lucky because it anticipates us.
Right.
And, like, sometimes, like, when I go to bed at night, I like to have something on that I you know, I don't have any audio, but I like to have the TV on.
Right.
But I like to have something that is like totally neutral. Like I'm not going to get a scary movie or something that could my subconscious could pick up or
so
whatever.
So it's typically like House Hunters or
Channel. But they go off the air at 3.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
So I found this one station that's like, it's a Bible station, and it's 24/7. It's just the same guy, no commercials, just reading the Bible. I find that totally neutral.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So, but there are times when I just can't, like, take even that. Like, I just want to be left alone.
Right.
Don't touch me. Just leave me alone, you know? But this, like, for example, this morning, you know, I turned the TV on, just and then it was on, that channel.
Right.
And I didn't leave it on that channel.
It just naturally went.
It went there because, in general, more often than not, I, at this time of the night, have this channel on.
So are you saying now your TV's intuitive?
Yes.
And it's now turning a channel for you?
Yes.
Well, that's interesting.
I'm 100% sure of that.
Okay, I believe you. I don't see why I wouldn't.
Yeah. And, like, why would... there was something we did just recently, and we didn't do it on the computer, but I think we did it on the phone. And then when we went to the computer, there was an ad for it.
Yeah, yeah. So, oh, yeah, on the phone. I'm like, how did it do that? Yes.
And I don't know how it does it, but it's doing it.
And so when they say the computer is being intuitive, they're not making that up.
No.
It's not even through my strokes on my fingers.
Right.
I'm near my computer. I'm on my phone. And somehow my computer is hearing this, and it's saying, okay, she wants more information about this.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
I know. And so, you know how I invented that quote, "Oh hell no, not today."
Yes.
Well, that's becoming more and more my quote. Like,
right.
"Oh hell no, not today."
Yeah.
No, you're not going to do that to me today.
Oh hell no, when tomorrow?
So
oh hell yes, tomorrow?
Is it tomorrow you're going to say
yes
to me?
Tomorrow, hell yes. And you're like, odds in your favor are, oh hell no. hell no, not tomorrow either.
Crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, I don't know. Don't get me started, girlfriend. I know.
Well, you're already riled up.
I am already riled up.
I was watching Vice. You know, I love that news program.
Yeah.
Okay, so you know us by now. We watch CNN, MSNBC, Fox. I watch Vice. I watch Viceland, not all at one time, but, you know, through the course of the week, I listen to my radio show, and then Normana will come home, and he'll bring something that I had not heard of yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been experiencing some nuances this week.
Right. Oh, good.
One was, okay, the horrible fires have been happening in California.
Right.
Just horrible.
Yes.
Now, they were happening in smaller amounts during the floods.
Yeah.
And during the hurricanes.
But they just didn't get the...
No.
The noteworthy news that they're getting now.
And so now we're talking about, and for whatever reason, I apologize. My cold is now expressing itself. Mm. Yes, and there I get mom's disapproval eye roll. And you forgot the eye roll.
Well, the last time you had this cold was right before you got your Lyme disease.
No, I had the flu, because you guys had a flu, and I thought I had the flu. And I said, gratefully, I don't have sinus issues. And I don't have a.
But they
I don't
gave
throw
you
up.
They gave you antibiotics though for it,
right? Because I said, "Well, you've had this for a while. You should be done with this."
The flu,
yes.
Okay,
let's give you. Or maybe it was a cold.
I don't know. I remember it was sort of a head thing.
Because I had meningitis.
Yeah,
but I don't think I was sneezing and coughing.
Yeah,
I just felt it's just
dragging me down, girls. Bringing me back.
I know. I'm bringing
to
me
that
back.
Time.
So anyway, Normano, back to the horrible fires. And we were talking to a dear friend yesterday, and she was saying, oh, you know, that whole area is just destroyed. She went from Napa Valley to
Montreal.
Yeah. Because it takes 10 years for a vine to be able to bear fruit again.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, but
anyway. Well, she lived in Napa, and then she moved to Montreal.
Right.
So we were
talking about that
talking
a little bit.
Talking about that, yes.
And Normano had mentioned, which I had not heard of, that a good portion of the people who, the firefighters,
there's like 8,000 right now, the firefighters.
Yeah, and 20%.
Or more. Are prisoners.
Prisoners, yes.
That are fighting these fires.
Yes.
They get $2 a day.
Yes.
And in some cases, they work 72-hour shifts.
Right. And they're on. And
so
they,
God bless them.
God bless them. But they were interviewing this one firefighter who was from prison. And boy, was he just, he was with it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, he says he's having a transformation in prison, mm-hmm. you know, and I can see it because yes. he looked like an actor.
Right.
He'll like when he gets done, he'll be in the, he'll go get a firefighting job. Hopefully they'll take
mm-hmm,
him.
Mm-hmm.
And, but he looked like he was ready to be back in and like
society
and right. not just back in society, but like yeah. back in and I'm taking over my life.
Right.
I'm going back in and taking
well,
my life.
Well, these people are vetted. The,
yes.
The firefighters are. Because they're obviously not hardcore criminals.
And I love the fact they said that they can't be in prison for arson. I'm like,
I know.
Oh, no. Go, thank God.
Thank you, God.
I wondered if
I would it be so funny if, like, I never want to see another fucking fire again.
Oh, yeah, because you're an they, it was yeah. their punishment.
Yeah.
You will see the carnage
yeah.
that you brought on.
Yeah. yeah.
Could be, but I was just touched. I mean, these guys are in there trying.
Well, somebody asked him, what was he in for? And he went, EBI. I'm like, EBI, what is that, Julie?
You're
Alexa, look yeah. up. Look it up, Alexa. And Julie goes, extreme bodily injury.
Yes.
Ooh.
Ooh. Extreme Ooh. Bodily injury. Well, what Ooh. Was? What does that mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
I want to know more.
Yeah, please. You know, and I want to know the whole situation.
But what's interesting is they were talking about, I mean, I know there's been lots of deaths, and that's, you know,
horrible.
Tragic.
Yeah.
But there was, you know how something, because when it becomes individual, you can handle it more than
right.
when you just hear a number.
Right. Too
and
many.
There was this couple. He was 100 and she was 99. They lived alone and they both died in the fire. But you were telling me that, or was it Dad? You were telling, maybe it was you, that how this works is as the fire nears, you think you still have time to get out.
Right.
But what happens is that the fire sucks all the oxygen
yeah.
out of the air
right.
way before
yeah.
the fire comes.
Yes.
So these people thinking maybe that they had time or whatever, I
right.
don't really know, I guess died of asphyxiation.
Well, and that's, I guess that's what you hope for. I mean, I always...
And they were interviewing his son, who is not a young dude.
No, I mean...
And they were interviewing his son, and he said,
could be
you
80.
Know, they... He said... We always prayed that they could go together because neither one of them
Aww.
Would have lasted without
right.
the other one.
Aww.
And it was
sweet.
Yeah, sweet. It was sweet.
You know.
Yeah.
I mean, if you had to say it was sweet, it was sweet.
Yeah, it was sweet. And you hope together. It was fast.
There was one story that our Rokan, our radio guy, was talking about. I don't know if you heard this or not. But this man was living there, and he woke up, and the fire was all around his home. And he called his daughter, and he says, or he got in his car and started driving and leaving. Mm-hmm. And he called his daughter, just frantic, saying, "Did North Korea bomb us?"
Oh my God!
Because he did not connect what was going on.
Oh my God!
With he goes, "Please check North Korea bomb us," because he did not have any idea. And when
it's so tragic that we even have to live under that kind of duress.
Yeah,
to think that, you know, we're always that close to
it's,
you know, I remember listening to Russell Brand on Bill Maher
yeah.
last week, and people were saying he was saying that people in Europe think two things. They think that Trump's basically a clown or
right.
a joke, but also the fact that he really could drop a, you know, impose nuclear war on us,
right?
You know, vis-a-vis North
right.
Korea, North Korea,
yeah.
That in itself is, to me, telling how we're seen, you know.
Right.
And even our Canadian friend, our girl from Montreal, who we talk to all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, Canada, you don't know, but how the Canadians see us
right.
is weird as well, you know.
And skewed.
And it gets me, is it skewed? It gets me a little mad, though, because I don't ever consider myself highly patriotic.
No.
But I must be. I'm not highly patriotic.
And you're not a nationalist. You're not an extreme
nationalist. No, but when somebody starts cutting America down, like,
right.
well, you've got 60 years of this, and you got 50, this was what she was saying, and you got 50 years of this.
Right.
And this is why, and this is why. And I'm starting to, like, wait a minute.
We're
good enough for all your damn comedians to come down and make
and your actors to come
down. Yeah, come down and make a fortune off of us.
But what you hear is, because you hear that from other people and you're going, And you go, wait a minute, we're not what we've seen on the news.
Well, I mean, she was saying, you know, you just don't have culture.
Right.
You're not cultured enough.
Right. But, Mom, you got to realize that she's from French Canada, which is different than the rest of Canada. Because I've been to the rest of Canada and years ago, and they were less
similar to us.
Very much so, because we're much younger than French Canada, you know, French Canadian stuff. They're more like Europe, you know.
Yeah,
and so they think they're just their culture's much older than us, you know. And
like, boring.
Yeah, I go exactly.
Now I'm just now I'm even more pissed. Is this what I'm going to have to put up with? Either I'm like highly humorous. I'm just going to be like,
are you curmudgeon?
Comedy's going to save the world. Or am I getting curmudgeon-y?
No, that's exactly. And you,
because people are saying that our generation, we have the right now to become curmudgeons, to tell our quote unquote, we tell our truth. I'm using rabbit ears.
Yes. Yes.
I'm sure you're not going to enjoy that. That
part
truth.
Of my life with you guys, you and Normano, telling each other's truth, I'll hear from all ends. Here's the thing. I know that Daddy will not be allowed to tell his own truth.
Ever.
Because it would be maybe it contradict your truth.
I see.
And it'd be like, I was like, Dad, just go with Mom's truth because Mama not happy. Nobody happy. I go, so Mom going to have her own truth and let's just have it.
Yeah, but then I start like going, oh, everybody's just giving me like, they're just making it easy because they don't want to have trouble.
Well, that's true too. I mean, I always say that sometimes you put me in a box because you're like, I can't.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
Exactly. But no, I mean, here's the thing. It'd be different if you were wrong 90% of the time.
Right. I do agree though. When there are times that you do stick up for Norm, or actually don't stick up for me, which is
right.
Like more the
annoying.
Issue.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It's more the issue that you don't stick up for me than actually sticking up for Norm.
Right. Well, sometimes I just go, this is not my fight. This is not my fight.
Oh, it will be.
I am Switzerland in this fight.
Oh, it will be.
I am Switzerland. I'm taking no decision on this.
Well, there was one time though this week that you did tell Norm not to you kind of browbeated him and I was grateful because
well,
he,
I said,
was cook,
I asked, like,
he was going
to
cook.
He was
going
to mad to him. Mean to him.
Yeah, and he didn't say anything to
me. He goes, no, I didn't tell you were mean to him. I go, I was really mean to him.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, what happened? I said, well, I wasn't overly mean. He said, I'm going to cook some fish right now.
For breakfast.
For breakfast. I said, I go, for the love of God.
For the
I go,
love
you're
going to
cook fish and then leave. And then we're going to have the smell of fish linger in this house all damn day.
Yeah.
I go, could that not be it? Could you do it all when I go out with Doug? Then you can just cook fish all night long and make it. And you and Mom can have a little fish kebab. I go, but really right now in the morning? Well, then I'll eat it all day. I go, please. I'm just begging you.
Yeah.
Can I have this one thing?
But he gets a hard on for that. It's like he looks at the freezer and he's got this and he's had it for a week now.
Right.
He's had it for 2 weeks. He's had it for, I've got to get it. I've got to get it. I got no. No matter what, and then his mind becomes focused on it,
right?
And focused on it until it's like so big that he cannot not cook it.
Yes, well, it's so funny.
And what did I tell you to do? How to end that?
You said throw the fish away
before he even.
I didn't do that, by the way.
Oh, you didn't?
Oh. I forgot.
I just say throw it away.
Right.
End of discussion.
Yes. Well, I thought
and
funny.
He'll get it out of his mind then.
Yeah, it won't be there. Yeah. Outside of mine.
Yeah.
Well, two stories about this fish. One time I had bought steak and had leftover steak and wanted it for breakfast one morning with steak and eggs. It was a kind of nice Sunday morning breakfast. And Sunday morning I'm like, well, that Saturday night I was telling me that you guys are cooking fish. And it was like just 3 minutes on both sides, no big deal. I'm like, oh, cool. Mm-hmm. And then next morning I'm like, where the F's the steak at? I go, we're going to have steak this morning. I was going to make steak for breakfast. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as you turn into your Agatha Christie mode, you're like, OF. OF and that. We ate frost steak last night. We cooked steak last night thinking it was fish.
It was, we did. And it was, we were like, I'm like, okay, I think I could eat this fish, Norm.
This fish
tastes like steak.
Like steak.
Yeah.
Very thin cut pieces of steak. I could do this.
I think I could do this. It doesn't taste extremely fishy. And it's like, yeah, I agree.
And Norma was like, Kelly, he goes, it's so bloody, this fish is. I'm like, what the? I go, I don't know what to tell you. And then I come home. I go, you guys cooked the steak. Thinking it was fish.
3 minutes on each side, baby. Exactly. He does stuff like that. You know, yesterday he came home saying that he had a long road ahead of him yesterday. He had like a 6-hour trip.
Right.
One way, taking a container to, I don't know, someplace in up in upper Wisconsin. And then, so he had to go pee and there wasn't any rest areas.
Right.
So he, you know, as a trucker, you have your handy jug.
Right.
And so he was waiting for the right time because God forbid he'd pull over.
Right.
But he said he noticed that there was nobody behind him. He couldn't see for miles and miles that there was nobody behind him. So he decides that this is the time he's going to pee. So he has his jug. And so he's driving down the road. He gets his pants down around his ankles or over his knees.
So he's got to go totally buck naked.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
The truck's in cruise control.
Yes. Okay. In cruise control. And there's nobody around. There's nobody in back of him. But all of a sudden, he said that I just couldn't. I'm right there. I got the jug and everything. Right. But I'm just having like this, like, my brain's not wanting to pee for whatever reason. My body is, but I can't do it.
Right.
So I'm kind of standing up at the wheel, and nobody's still coming, but then he starts seeing people come.
Of course.
Like one car's coming. And so he's standing up, and finally he starts to pee, but now he can't stop.
Right.
So he's getting passed by this line of cars finally, and he's sort of standing up over his steering wheel.
My God.
With his, you know, and he was like, "Oh my God, I can't believe I'm freaking doing this," you know.
And so I wonder if the people could see that he's buck naked.
Well he wasn't
buck naked. He had a top on.
Yeah, exactly. He's got a top on. He just hasn't down around his ankles. But he had another experience about a couple weeks ago, and he said he called this. It was a pee experiment.
Pee experiment.
Not experience. A pee experiment.
All right.
So he was in I think he was in a truck stop.
Okay.
But it was really crowded and it was dark, I think. And he thought, I can just go pee in the side of my truck.
Right.
There's nobody going to see me. And then so he kind of went to the side of his truck and maybe there was somebody that might see him.
Right.
So he decided that he was going to act like he's messing around with his fuel tanks.
Right.
Which was fine, you know. So he decides to start peeing on the fuel tank.
Okay.
Not like on it, but like over it.
Okay.
Because it's a big round barrel, the fuel tank is. And so he's peeing and he's peeing around it.
Okay.
And you know, the people are coming, so he's like, I'm still okay. Nobody's coming. But he doesn't realize until it's over with that for whatever reason, I don't understand if it's physics or science or some kind of geometry or algorithm, but the pee manages to circle around the fuel tank, not just goes flat, but it goes around the fuel tank, and then when it gets to the certain spot, it falls down, which is all over his boots.
There you go.
And his pants.
There you go.
So he realizes at the end of all this that he's just like soaking wet.
Right.
His shoes are soaking wet.
Right.
And his pants are soaking wet. But he's still amazed.
Right.
Because there was some sort of physics involved in this.
Right.
You know, some kind of Einsteinian physics that we'll never understand how pee can go around in a circle.
See, women don't have this problem because we literally just can't whip it out and do it anywhere we want to do it.
Right.
And so I think that would be if I was transgendered and I was going from a man to a woman, that would be the one reason why I wouldn't want to have the operation completely.
Mm-hmm.
Because going to the I understand the bathroom rules and all that. You know, I'm not talking about that stuff. But I'm talking about in daily life, guys do have it, just the mechanics of it.
Right. Easier.
You can kind of easily whip it out, do it in a big jug or a Snapple bottle, you know, because the container is a little bit bigger. Mm-hmm. And, you know, pretty discreetly.
Yeah.
I mean, I always remember when I was a kid, you know, 22 years old, delivering lumber for Menards. I mean, I was this older guy. I don't know how he could have been 45 for all I know. But I was delivering lumber, and before I even left, guy was whooping out his wiener and peeing in the back, you know? But he probably had to go, but right. I didn't see anything, right. But he had to go, right. And he thought I was leaving,
right.
And I had to have him sign something.
No! Oh, no!
So, but I'm like, he's like, I'm going to the bathroom. I'm like, no problem, I get you. But I mean,
you're so tough, Joe.
Yeah. Well, but that'd be the one reason why I think having a penis would be awesome.
Yeah.
Because with girls, it's just not that easy. Now, if you watch Saturday Night Live and they had that non-conformist zipper,
the unizip
from yeah. front to back.
Yeah.
But still, you can't just.
For those who are woke.
The problem is the whole issue.
Yeah.
You can't put I have never been successful at peeing.
Aiming the hole?
Aiming my personal hole.
Jewel. I don't believe you just said that.
My personal into a container. Just didn't have, wouldn't, I've tried one, they're good, it's impossible. So that is the problem. So I can see that. But now I will share one story. Only once did I have to go, twice I think I've had to go, to the bathroom quickly. One time, it was nighttime. I knew I wouldn't be able to get a spot at a truck stop. I had pulled over and I had to pee really bad.
Oh, I remember that.
Do you remember this?
I remember it. I believe you ended up peeing in your hard hat.
Yes. I did. I made the seat really low, dropped my drawers a little bit,
yeah.
Sat on the hard hat.
Yeah.
Peed.
I think that's pretty cool, honestly.
It worked. Nobody knew.
Nobody knew.
But I had to go really bad. And I thought, well, now I got a hard hat full of urine. What am I going to do with that? And I'm like, just dump it, you know. But, I mean, and then
I can remember when we all had a... oh shoot! You know when you're looking around for different things in the game, you know,
yeah.
What kind of hunt is it? A
treasure hunt? Oh, scavenger?
Scavenger hunt? Yes. Yeah, sorry, and it just escaped my mind. But we had this huge scavenger hunt,
yeah.
And we wrote down. Jug of pee.
Yeah.
And everybody's going, where are we going to find a jug of pee? Where are we going to find it? You people, this is how, I'm never, you just.
And I go, you can't Google
gonna,
it either.
We're never going to win.
Can't Google images. No right. binging images.
Yeah, because they were going to, yeah, if somebody wanted yeah. to Google an image. Yeah. And they were like, this is ridiculous. There's no way we can win.
Yeah.
And like we just like, you'll figure it out.
Yes.
Yeah,
and they did.
So all you had to do was go to our truck stop.
Yeah.
Our little
There's
local truck
stop. There's one around
there
somewhere.
And there was like 100.
I think they were desperate because they didn't know what to do. So they just poured out some Snapple tea and then put some and peed in it.
No, really? Yeah. I thought they just.
No, they might have done that.
Oh, okay.
You know, the problem with that, I remember that one scavenger hunt and I worded one thing wrong on that scavenger hunt.
Mm-hmm.
And it was. Because you know how Walmart has those wheelchair carts?
Yeah.
And I said, take a picture of a wheelchair cart with
yeah.
With you in a wheelchair cart.
Right.
And what happened was
I know.
I got pictures of people there was a guy who worked at Walmart in that wheelchair cart yeah. and everybody was taking pictures of him. I go, oh no, this is not what I meant.
I'm sure he felt like, why me?
Why me? Well, you're part of my scavenger hunt person. I go, I'm sorry, this is not, we're not really dissing you. It's just worded inappropriately. I'm like, really? Julie, you couldn't have vetted that a little bit better.
Oh my God.
Did my formative assessment on that.
That's right. That was just horrible.
So,
but you were, you know, you were watching a couple of little kids this week.
Yes.
And they are, when you're, they're used to going on a treasure hunt with you.
Yes. I write maps out.
Right.
And I hide candy.
But you didn't this week. And why was that? Because
I didn't come prepared. Didn't know they were going to be there.
Right. You didn't know they were going to be there. But you ended up doing something else.
Geocache. We did a geocaching thing.
Tell me about geocaching.
Well, I don't know much about it except that there's a website where people have, and you can find out from where you're at if people have placed objects that you're trying to find.
Right.
And there's clues there, and there's coordinates, and you use your phone that tells you where to go. Mm-hmm. And so,
so you basically had a treasure hunt for these little kids.
We did. And it was so much fun. Except we found one, and it was a little tiny plastic thing, and you took it out, and it was a very, very, like, literally, like, an inch or two long, mm-hmm. and it was a scroll, and you're supposed to write your name in the scroll.
Oh, neat.
And put it back and put it down there again.
Oh, neat. And was there any other names besides
yours?
Yeah,
two, and the last one was a month earlier. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of fun. Mm-hmm. And the second one, and I'm so sorry, I can feel like my sinus is getting fuller and fuller. The second one, though, gave us to a water treatment plant, and it said we had to go between these two fences, and the only person that could fit was a little girl. So she's halfway down, and I'm like going, screw it, come back, because I don't want anything to happen to you on my watch. That would be horrible. Mm-hmm. And the third place led us to this middle of downtown Byron, and it had a big statue. And I'm going, what is this statue? Because it just looks so phallic. And it was just a big, it had two cannons in the middle of this intersection and a big, long missile. I do not know why.
Was it placed there by the city or was it placed by the people who were geocaching?
No, by the city.
Got it.
It's a big, huge concrete
thing.
Got
it. Okay.
And in the middle of this intersection, you had to go around it then to make any turns or whatever. Uh-huh. We almost got in a big accident. Uh-huh. So it looked like the coordinates were right there in there. And so we all get out, pitch black by this time, and we're looking. Cars are coming around, and we just called it because we're like, it's getting late.
Yeah.
I've got two young girls, a 9 and 7.
Yeah.
And the last thing I want to have happen is, death caused by geocaching. That would have been horrible.
Yeah. Has similar memories to the old Pokemon Go.
What I don't exactly, but what I don't understand is like what this monument was all about. Two canyons.
Cannons,
thank you. And a huge phallic-looking missile, mm-hmm. Pointing straight up.
Mm-hmm.
And
in Byron.
Yeah.
Why Byron?
I don't know.
The only thing that Byron has is a nuclear power plant.
Right. And I don't think it was for that. No. It was dated. And I should have read some stuff about it, mm-hmm. but I guess it would have been like, hey, you're geocaching and connecting it with historical events, mm-hmm. and therefore geocaching becomes learning.
Education.
Educational. What a wonderful thing. Woohoo! So I've been once again pushed to my limit and have to you know, I think I said to Normano this week, I said, are men just gross? Are just men just gross?
I'm sure he said yes.
He said, well, we have potential to be gross. And it's all about Harvey Weinstein.
Which we talked about last week.
Did we a little bit?
Yeah.
What did we say last week?
Well, we didn't. Not everything had come out.
Right.
As it came out this week.
And now the floodgates
now
have
opened.
Now
we're really grossed out.
What do you think about this idea, though, of because he donated a lot of money to Democratic candidates,
mm-hmm.
about them having to give money back, the money back.
Oh, I think it's stupid.
I think it's ridiculous.
I do.
Because then they're going to have to vet everyone who gives them money.
Yeah.
And no one's, okay, on a pendulum or a scale, he's way to the right being totally, you know, gross, mm-hmm. wrong, illegal, mm-hmm. activities. But we all fall in the spectrum somewhere. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you go back way in our life, you know, no one's squeaky clean.
Mm-hmm.
So I just don't feel like we have to, you know.
I think it's political.
Stupid. Yeah, it is
if
political.
Somebody says that they got to get the money, it's just being political.
And I would say the exact same thing depending on, no matter who it was.
I agree.
I think it's a waste of big time.
Yeah.
A waste of big time.
Yeah, don't get me started.
Yeah.
Oh, hell no. Not today.
And I'm like, we don't have enough to talk about in this world but I'm talking about it now. I think it's dumb. I'm still so shocked when these things come out,
mm-hmm.
and how prolific and how just like insidious,
mm-hmm.
and how horrible and how successful he was,
mm-hmm.
everywhere.
We don't get it.
I don't, you know.
How do you get that successful?
And still be that kind of guy.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone around you.
Everybody has to know the secret.
Yes.
Everybody around you has to know the elephant in the room.
I mean, I remember hearing one time this week that, which I thought was new, that his brother set him up at part like recently because he won out of the company. Like he was coming down, like, you gotta get the heck out. Mm-hmm. They were at war, something like that. Mm. And, you know, you see these. I started feeling really bad for these women who go and meet him, and you think, you know, there's always, when you're younger, you have to, there's probably some part of your, you know, you're going with you're going in as an interview, right? You're looking your best. You're trying to be, you know, as, you know, friendly as possible. Mm-hmm. And, but you don't think it's going to lead to some guy just pulling his pants out and, you know, jerking off, you know, you're just like, what, where is that? And I remember talking about this, and I thought to myself today, this is the one problem with listening to Dan Savage, is that I started thinking that, oh, well, this is just his kink. This is just his, this is just how he's drawn. And, but you know what? Screw that.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And I guess the only way it would be okay is if he only said, I need to know the women who will say, it's okay for you to, for me to sexually harass you and then jerk off in front of you and not let you go. And, you know, he's a bigger guy, I guess. I don't know how tall he is, really.
Well, no, but I saw this one young reporter who had this happen. She was like 5'1".
Yeah.
And he's like 6'2".
Yeah.
And you know, if you're alone she was in the bottom of his restaurant, the basement.
Right.
And he cornered her there. And he pulled his pants, I don't know, pulled his wiener out or whatever. And
Wiener.
Anthony Wiener.
Yeah, really. Come on. Oh, my God. I mean.
And masturbated. And she said she just couldn't wait to get out of there. And she said the next day at work, he called her TV station. And they went, Harvey Weinstein's or whatever is wanting on, you know, want to talk to you. And so she went, and he said, I just want to tell you, I just want to thank you. I had such a wonderful night last night. As if it was a date. And she said, that's the thing that truly blew her mind.
Yeah.
As if she had sanctioned it, it was a date, they had a good time. He was saying, you know, and when I heard that as a therapist, I immediately said that this is a mental illness.
He's mentally ill.
Yeah.
But it doesn't excuse him at all. In some sense.
No, it doesn't excuse him.
Because
but I
he was
think
able
some...
to amass a fortune. He was able to marry. I think he had a kid, didn't he?
Two kids
with this woman who's very successful in her own right. I mean, it's just like effing crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, it just makes me so mad that this is still going on.
Who said it? Was it F. Scott Fitzgerald that said, the rich are different than you and me?
Yeah.
I mean, it must truly be that.
Yeah, they are just completely different.
They're just different. I mean, you could be married, live in New York, and have a house in the Hamptons, and consider yourself, have a good marriage, but who knows? I mean,
right. And maybe, and we don't even know what the rich really means. I mean, the rich in our cult, in our community, we know what that looks like.
Yeah.
But the rich in Hollywood or in big business, that kind of rich is, you know, your
that's
lifestyle
scary rich.
Requires people living with you.
Yeah.
You know, you need to have people, a stylist, a dresser, a butler, you know.
If you're a Kardashian,
a personal assistant,
you have to have a life coach live with you.
Yeah, a life coach, a security guard. So just you living and existing requires a small little company.
Yeah, you know, what about that? Because, like, even
not for
just
me.
Us living, you know, requires us to recycle.
Yes, exactly.
We gotta clean up our mess.
Yes.
Not make more.
I don't get it. And I guess, and the idea of, I mean, when you stop having to take, you know, public planes or whatever you call it, commercial planes, and go private, just have your private jet take you everywhere. Mm-hmm. I mean, right then there, that's when the leap is, right?
Yeah, I guess.
And all of a sudden, you're no longer, you can be anywhere in the world for the most part, whenever you want to go. You no longer have limitations on who you are.
Right.
our boundaries. And so then, therefore, who's keeping you in check? I mean, in our natural world, mm-hmm. we are all kept in check for the most part mm-hmm. by finances, by just limitations of life. Mm-hmm. I can't today decide to go to Cambodia or Philippines, or I want to go to Singapore. You know, it would require a lot of planning for me. Mm-hmm. A good portion of my yearly salary, you know, and for somebody else, it would be like, here's what I could do. Mm-hmm. Take care of it, mm-hmm. pay for it. And I want to
be back by Monday.
And I want to be back by Monday. Like, okay. They're getting it done. Yeah. Or I want to create another business. I want to do this here. So-and-so find the best team, find the best this and this. Mm-hmm. And for normal people, it requires hours upon hours and time and time. And we were listening to Jordan Peterson one time, and he was talking about how, like, being at zero is a magnet.
Right.
Financially.
Yes.
It takes so much effort right. to get beyond that.
Right.
But when you start having more money, then it's easier then to create more money
yes.
from that money.
Yes.
But until you get to that level,
right.
it's painful and hard.
Yes. And it's a magnet.
And it's a magnet to keep you down there. Mm-hmm. And that's where most people are at. I mean, I was watching one of the things I wanted to say. You know how when people protest and counter protesters, you know, we have a certain way of doing it in America, right? India has farmers right now protesting because part of their government wants to take their land away from them. And they have small plots. Sometimes it's just like 100 yards. And it keeps their family fed and their extended family fed. And the way they're protesting is they are going on hunger strikes. But what they're also doing is they're burying themselves up to their chest. Like they're digging holes mm-hmm. in the dirt, mm-hmm. burying themselves, filling the holes up, mm-hmm. and they're just sitting there saying, in protest, you will not take this land.
Oh, Julie.
I know. Can you imagine?
No, I can't. No. I mean, I don't... Yeah.
I mean, some people take, you know, go and get tiki lights and, you know, walk down the thing and like, I'm so great, you know.
Yeah.
And they're doing it in these quiet ways. Yeah. And it's just, but I mean, I can't imagine that kind of sacrifice for what you believe in. And yeah, on the other hand, these are poor farmers.
Yeah.
And the government says, we will reimburse you, whatever that means. Mm-hmm. You know, we have eminent domain. We mean the government can take our land if they feel it's... Mm-hmm. needs to be taken for the good, the use of for all, right?
Right.
But you wonder, are they holding on to a life that could be done better? You know, I mean, they were mm-hmm. showing that they are such poor farmers that they have no equipment. Mm-hmm. Everything is done by hand, mm-hmm. everything. But it feeds their family. Mm-hmm. They're all together. You know, they're overall happy enough, mm-hmm. you know?
That frustrates me.
I know. And there is no right answer.
No.
To them, this is their way of life. They've always mm-hmm. done it.
Well, and I've heard, you know, I've heard like young people, and they're not specifically talking about this incident, but young people go, why don't they just let go? It'll get better, you know, if we just let technology handle it.
Yeah, whatever.
It'll just get better. And there's just this sort of like throwing caution to the wind that... You know, we must evolve.
Yeah. I want to say I want to say something too about technology. That idea that technology would make everything better is just BS. Technology got us, you know, enriched in uranium mm-hmm. that required technology.
Right.
You know, technology got us to coal where it didn't get, we didn't go around coal and burning to solar power and wind power. We went right to coal,
right.
You know, and that industry's struggling because they don't know what to do in where they live.
Right.
And so there's always, you can tell that technology will make it better. Yes, after it probably causes a shitload of grief.
Right.
For a certain population. And right. then
yeah.
it will get better.
Right.
But in the meantime, you know, we're losing people. People will die.
Yeah.
People will be unhappy.
Yeah.
You know.
Dang,
change
Julie.
Is always painful.
Yeah. Dang it.
Dang it. Well, that was our show today.
The curmudgeons.
Yeah.
Life with the curmudgeons.
I know. My cold. I'm sorry, Mama. I'm sorry I have a cold.
I know.
Sorry I've had an expressive cold. I apologize. Don't look at me like that with your rolling eyes. Like, how dare you get sick? I don't like it when you get sick.
You mothers understand. You mothers out there understand.
Yeah.
somebody's going, no, I don't. I don't get it.
I don't get it. If my daughter, my adult daughter gets sick, big deal. But you don't, you got to, you have to see it.
That's right.
That's right. That's the problem. You got to put blinders on. Keep it blinded.
Compartmentalize.
Exactly. So how was the show, girlfriend?
Oh, Jules, as always.
It was great.